welcome back to the Jobber Circle Wrestling Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the stupendous WrestleMania 38. We're going to be rating night 1 and 2. We're also going to be reviewing the Raw afterwards. But first, Kaylin.
Yes.
You can hang out with any one wrestler. An AEW, WWE, NXT, any wrestler. Any pro wrestler. You can hang out with one for a day. Which one would you hang out with?
One wrestler? Can I choose a faction? One faction?
Okay, you threw a little curveball on it. Go ahead.
Okay, Dark Order.
Really? Okay.
Because yes. I was going to say Anna Jay for female, but then I was like, wait, but you got to, like, I couldn't choose. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that's true. Dark Order, that's a good one. Oh, yes. My gosh, who would I pick? Because now you got me thinking I want to pick a faction.
Yeah.
Because I would say Kenny Omega, honestly.
And does it have to be a current faction? It could be, like, a past?
Oh, no. See, that's going to be too broad. Okay. I just say, if I can party with the NWO in the 90s, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Trust me, I would. Or even party with DX in the 90s, I would. Yeah, because I was going to say Kenny Omega, but then now I can say the Elite. But then, like I said, Dark Order is a good one.
Yeah.
Dark Order is a good one. But yeah, a good little question there to start off the episode. So what do you want to talk about first?
I think WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean the biggest night of the year.
yeah, true. So what's your takeaway?
My takeaway? Like,
main takeaway from WrestleMania.
Stupendous. Okay. Is that too cheesy?
All right, there you go. No,
yeah,
no,
I mean, but what I mean by that is that it really delivered.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we were promised. It's stupendous two-night WrestleMania, and I definitely think it delivered.
It did not disappoint. Well, actually, some areas may disappoint. Overall, no, it didn't disappoint. Let's go ahead and get right into it.
Yes.
That's the important part. So this, like I said, this is a repackage of the Jobber Circle wrestling podcast. Kind of like, you know, trying to change things up because, just like any podcast, when we first started out, we had to figure some things out, and we're still figuring them out, so please bear with us, but these things will get better. So, as far as that goes, our old rating system that we introduced, I guess, last episode, which was months ago, is still active. So, we're going to rate WrestleMania, okay? And here's the rating system. It gets a 1, gets a potato, all right? So, plain and simple.
Yes.
2, still haven't figured that out. Like I said, figure things out. 2, we want 2 to still be good.
Yes.
Basically, the only bad rating you can get on our rating is a 1. If you get a 2, it's good. It's still good.
Yes.
So, or you can say solid. But 3 would be this is awesome. 4 would be elite.
Yes.
And 5 would be brass ring, which is like the best.
Best of the best.
Yeah, exactly. Best of the best. So, So, depending on, like we said, before on our ratings, we're not just rating pure wrestling like some other ratings might go. No, this is based on the entertainment aspect, this is based on entrances, we're even gonna rate segments. So let's start by rating the first segment. What did you think of, well, technically it was the first segment of night 1 and 2. What did you think of the Mark Wahlberg intros?
I thought it was different. I was not expecting it. Like, I know they normally have, like, their guests and stuff like that, but I was not expecting Mark Wahlberg at all. I'm not sure if he was there to promote something. I'm assuming he's a big wrestling fan for him to be able to want to do that. But, yeah, definitely unexpected, but good.
pretty good. Pretty good. So I'll give it a 2. I give the Mark Wahlberg intros is just solid good.
Give it a 2. I like Mark Wahlberg, so I think I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. All right, got our dog here.
Yeah.
So then that brings us to the first match of WrestleMania Night 1. WrestleMania Saturday is what they're calling it now. So the Usos and then against Nakamura and Boogs.
Nakamura and Boogs. Well, starting off from the beginning, Boogs' entrance really grows on you, I feel, because at first I couldn't really get behind it. Like, I was just like, he's just trying to get, the audience involved, which is cool. And he just pulled me right in because I just find myself singing along. And the fact that he literally plays the guitar the entire time that Shinsuke's coming down,
to the ring.
Yeah. Yes. My name's Rick Boogs.
Rick Booger? That's what I think about.
That's what it's short for.
Yeah, do you think Rick Boogs will ever be WWE champion?
I don't think so. Especially,
but
like,
he's entertaining.
He's entertaining,
he's a good
for sure.
Sports entertainer.
For sure, and I like his character. They're kind of doing, like, a, what's his name?
Well, he's always, like, the guitar type character.
Yeah.
Like the Jeff Jarrett, the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
Elias, which we'll talk about that, but, yeah.
Elias?
Yeah. Talk about his younger brother here in a little bit. But, so overall, I mean, what did you think about this match? I mean, at the end of the match, he had the, apparently, I mean, it's not a work. Apparently, it's a shoot. Rick Boogs got the shoot injury in there, trying to double stack the Usos on his shoulders, and apparently he tore his patella tendon. So,
I,
as far as we know, it's a shoot injury. So, I'm sure that affected the match. I think the Usos were still going to win regardless. Yeah. But yeah, that just sucks. He was supposed to have his, that was his WrestleMania moment right there. And mm-hmm. it sucks.
First match of the night to start off too. It was really like, I guess you could say upsetting.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, hopefully he gets back. I was going to say something with that and I completely forgot.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, the fact that he did that move at all, like, I feel like that definitely could have been prevented.
Yeah,
like, true. What was he thinking? Like, but, I mean, stacking come
on, John Cena
the...
stacked Big Show and Edge on top of each other. So he thought he could do it. But, yeah, that sucks. So, overall, yeah. I'd give this a 2.
I'm going to give it a 2 also.
All right, yeah. So, it was a solid match, but, you know, wasn't nothing really too much. And then, you know, the ending kind of soured it, but that's nobody's fault. But, dang, that sucks. So, next we had Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin. It was a good wrestling match. It was a good solid match, but I actually I'm just going to say it because we can just, you know, we got to quickly go through this, but I was going to give it a 2. I might give it a 1 in retrospect.
I'm going to give it a 1 because of the story that kind of like went before it, right?
Yeah.
Like they were saying some pretty harsh stuff and I know it's like, okay, but it's like I feel like that's not something to joke about.
Oh yeah, you're talking about someone's dead mother, then you deserve to get smacked in the mouth, Chris Rock style,
literally,
or Will Smith style.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 1 also.
Yeah,
for that reasoning.
The ending was kind of cool with the whole sword through the robes, but then I don't know if he was supposed to cut out 3.
It looked really fake to me,
and it did look, you know, but yeah, I don't know if that's maybe our curse for being too, you know, looking too into it. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I respect both of them, and I think it was a solid match. But just in the lineup of everything that this night became in retrospect, I'd give it a 1. But in the moment, I'd give it a 2.
Yeah.
But it's going to go down as a 1 in our book.
Yep.
All right. So then The Miz and Logan Paul versus The Mysterios. This is one of the matches. I guess, yeah, because I had one of these for night 2. So I'll say this is the match of night 1. That like I had kind of semi low expectations for, and it kind of blew me away.
Yeah,
like it just based on the fact that how Logan Paul is a natural. Like
he
I'm
really
just
is.
Say, regardless, you love him or hate him, but he's a natural, and his gear was great. He walked out there looking like a million bucks.
Literally,
that freaking Pikachu freaking Illustrator card. That's I don't know. I've heard it was worth like couple hundred thousand, but then I heard somewhere it's worth like a couple million. So
I heard
I don't
like
know.
3 million.
Yeah, exactly. So damn, like yeah. And then I think he didn't wear that one to the Floyd Mayweather fight. I think he actually wore the Charizard. So this dude just collecting these, and it's actually like in the box of like the graded box with the grade on there.
So he just had it on a necklace.
Yes, it's like, can you imagine?
Thought it was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a new style of flexing. Just because, hey, why am I gonna buy? Well, he technically did have it on the chain,
yeah,
with the little thing. But it's like, why am I gonna buy a big, you know, expensive pendant when I can just wear my Pokemon card that's more expensive
than a
any
pendant,
gold or diamond?
Yeah, literally.
Oh wow, that's crazy. And then kind of symbolism. Well, first of all, the first thing I noticed about the Mysterios was the old school Rey Mysterio stage jump. Like I love that he brought that back. Apparently, you know, because he started on WWE with that too, coming out from the stage with the pyro. And I remember, I think he eventually stopped doing it because, number one, it was kind of hard to do it on all arenas. Like, I remember there was one arena where they literally had to roll out a box for him to do it in just because the stage wasn't big enough.
Oh my gosh.
I think that became awkward. And then, according to interviews, he said that, like, would literally hurt his knees before the match because Rey has knee problems too.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's had knee braces, and he's actually, he wears knee braces under his gear, and it's notorious for cutting people open with his knee brace when he does a 619. He's cut Undertaker open, he's cut Edge open, I think a few other people. But so he had to stop doing that jump because it was hurting his knees.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, classic Rey, and the fact that he did it with the sun, I'm sure they're gonna remember that moment forever. And I just think, oh man, I just love this, you know, that
the father son duo.
Yes, yeah, and that, you know, going back to when I was a kid, that family, I've always been invested in, like, the Guerreros and the Mysterios.
Yeah,
you know? Maybe it's a tie to, you know, the heritage. You know, that brings a closer little what's the word, like
meaning to it.
Yeah, like you can relate
to
it.
You feel really, yeah, you can relate to it.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I thought that was cool. And then Dominic's gear, which is, you know, speaking of the Guerreros, was a throwback to Eddie Guerrero gear.
I literally thought he was dressed as Cody's tattoo.
All right, moving on. No, but I mean, it was kind of Eddie's gear. I'm gonna be honest, Eddie's
like
gear was cooler. Dominic's is kind of like,
I didn't really like the fringe that he added, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was a little young Bucky. I don't know.
Yeah, ooh.
No, just the fact that he had the fringe like up top that kind of like, I don't know, but
yeah.
It was all right. It was a WrestleMania outfit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think about that, because Ray normally dresses up as a superhero for WrestleMania. That's one thing I like. But
oh yeah,
he just didn't do it this year because of that duel. That, you know, he was basically dressed like the Mexican mm-hmm. flag, and Dominic was dressed as the American flag. There yeah. you go. Mm-hmm. Bada bing, bada boom. All right. So
we didn't rate this one. I'm gonna give it a 2.
I was gonna give it a 2, but just like in retrospect, because. Like right, we have here for the Drew Happy Corbin, I was going to give it a 2, but then we dropped it down to a 1. For yeah. this might be the opposite.
Really?
I had this written down for a 2. I might give it a 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In retrospect, and then even the Miz betrayal at the end, which was just a good way to end the icing on top for those that, like, extremely hate Logan Paul. I'm sure they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think I'll give it a 3.
Nice.
You want to agree with me on that?
No, I think I'm going to stay at a 2.
Okay, so, yeah, I guess that's a new thing. We'll have different ratings.
Yeah, we'll have different ratings throughout, like, each match and stuff, but I think we'd like to find a middle ground for the overall.
Yeah, there you go.
Score, so.
Yeah, so then we had Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch.
Ooh, fire match.
Yes.
Fire from
and
beginning
that face
to
kick,
end.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. She really messed her up.
Swollen the next day.
Oh my God.
Looked bad.
At first I was like, ooh, honey, keep the glasses on. But then I was like, no, she's embracing it. It's okay.
Yeah.
But man, just closed shut. And then their entrance is so cool with the band.
Yes, that was
and
so
then,
awesome.
And then Becky's like,
yeah, getting
intro
escort
video.
Oh, and the intro video, which a lot of people were saying it's like a Marvel intro. But then I was like, well, it's more like the WWE intro is what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Whatever.
Too.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But fire match and well deserved title win, to be honest with you.
Yeah. True.
For
true
sure. That. She true definitely that. Deserved it.
Yeah.
It was her time.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about that kick to the face. But the rest of the match was badass. I was very invested in that match.
Yes,
and
for
I think it was cool. And then, you know, you had Becky come in and, you know, steal the spotlight at SummerSlam and win it in, like, what, like 30 seconds? So mm-hmm. Vince was like, don't worry, Bianca.
Yeah,
we'll
we
back
got you
Mania.
I was going to say it's SummerSlam.
You'll go
to
back on Mania. Get your rematch.
Yeah, literally.
I'm going to give this a 3.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, because I was including the entrances and everything overall. Yeah, I'll give it a 3. But again, retrospect, we might give it a 4, judging, you know, based on, well, a lot of people got hurt, actually. A lot of people went all out for Mania. And, you know, sometimes you get hurt like that. So you're going to stick to 4?
I'm going to stick to 4.
All right, I'll stick to 3. There we go. Going to have differences. Seth and his mystery opponent, which was
Cody. Yes.
I was kind of...
I probably was a little too drunk, but I was pretty hyped also.
After like 5 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is cool.
It's
this
just,
is...
What it was is you already had like a thoughts in mind of who you really genuinely wanted it to be. And I think we all wanted it to be somebody else, but I mean, he was just the...
I was really thinking Undertaker.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend and he really swayed me that way. But I personally was kind of hoping it was The Fiend.
Yeah.
It was Bray. It looks Bray Wyatt. At least a new version. Like, he can reinvent himself again. I'd forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but damn. Where's he at?
I know. It's just like, he hasn't popped up anywhere else. It's just...
I hope he's doing okay, like, personally.
Well, he just posted... That's what kind of, like, okay, I thought it was, like, kind of a giveaway. So, like, that's what made me kind of think it was not him. Because he literally posted on Instagram, like, the day of WrestleMania, saying that he was in Dallas.
Mm.
So I was like,
yeah, but then a lot of people are saying, like, oh my gosh, the amount of clickbait, and I'm talking about you, what culture, the amount of clickbait, I still love you, but sometimes, Jesus Christ, tone it down a bit.
Literally.
The amount of clickbait, and it's not just them, it's just a lot of people, just WrestleMania, oh my gosh, the WrestleMania clickbait. And then another thing about WrestleMania is, like, where's all these wrestling fans the rest of the year? It's like all of a sudden all these wrestling, just like the Super Bowl, all these wrestling fans
come out of
the woodwork, during WrestleMania season, and then watch, they're gone now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the amount of clickbait. Oh my gosh, like people saying The Rock's family was in the front row and like literally had me hyped up for The Rock coming out at the end, and you know, spoiler alert, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
The amount of clickbait. It was just
I was actually gonna say and bring up the time that. It was just recently, too, when they literally had a video one day talking about Cody Rhodes is going to be at WrestleMania. And then the next day, Cody Rhodes is not going to be at WrestleMania.
Oh,
it's
well,
like,
culture, yeah.
Get your shit together.
Literally, yes. They literally will make a video. Then 2 hours later, make a video correcting themselves.
Literally,
it's like, oh
or
my
saying
gosh.
The exact opposite.
Yes, and I thought that Cultaholic was bad or whatever. But anyway, Yeah, what were we talking about? Seth and Cody and all these other wrestling channels.
It's because we started talking about Cody.
Yeah, and it's just because we're fans of these channels, so obviously we watch their videos, so we're going to have our takes. Just like if you watch our stuff, you're probably going to say, like, hey, this episode was boring, this episode, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to have your take, and we're not, you know, we're not going to judge you for that.
Yeah.
But the Cody Seth, yeah, and then Seth actually had me. Seth got me because when he posted the GIF on Twitter of Rob Van Dam, I was like, oh, what if it's Rob Van Dam?
Literally.
He's undefeated at WrestleMania. So that kind of had me. He was my wild card. And then, of course, The Undertaker was another wild card.
Yeah.
As long as it wasn't Goldberg or Bad Bunny, I was fine.
you said that.
I like Bad Bunny, but we didn't need him versus Seth. Or Goldberg,
Bad Bunny.
Get Goldberg out of here.
Yeah. Get Goldberg. Yeah, no, Bad Bunny had his time last year.
Yeah, Logan Paul kind of took a spot as a celebrity, you know.
Yeah.
Not like, I'm sure he'll come, if, you know, another Rumble or something. But
yeah, for sure.
They always have to have some big WrestleMania star. Like, I remember one year they had Snooki.
Well, they did have Bad Bunny this past Royal Rumble.
Yeah. No, he was at WrestleMania last year, though, too. Wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this, I'm going to give a two.
I'm going to give it a two also.
Yeah, I had written down three, but in retrospect...
The only thing I just want to add with Cody is that I'm just curious to see where it goes because, you know, of course, like, I don't know.
Like I said, I was just hyped. On Raw, the next day, you know, because, I mean, obviously, if you listen to this, you watched SmackDown and you probably, or SmackDown, you watched WrestleMania and you probably kept up, you know, at least the cliff notes on Raw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he came out and had a promo on Raw. And, yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's just basically coming back to, for his legacy.
Yeah.
You know, for his dad's legacy.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting that title for him.
Yeah. He said that, like, you know, he said in his speech too that being an executive for him, like how he was at AEW, was fun. He said, but it got old really fast. He's like, I wouldn't be a champion. So.
And, you know, I wasn't going to go into this episode because I got to prepare, but I have this long rant to go on about the current things I hate about wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And basically the split between AEW and WWE. Look, I'm just going to go over it real quick. I'm not gonna go on this rant this episode.
Okay.
But basically, like, hey, if you're a wrestling fan, you're a wrestling fan. Please support both of them. Don't do this thing. Come on, guys. Don't do this. Oh, I'm Team WWE. I'm Team AEW. Yeah, that's fun in the moment, but it's just like Cody said about the exact thing. It gets old quick. Yeah. Like, if there's one thing I realized about, well, I've been realizing, but WrestleMania solidified it, is the fact that WWE isn't going anywhere ever. You know, and the only time they would go anywhere is when if they do ever sell to like a Disney or to the Prince of Saudi Arabia or to Amazon, or I forgot who else wanted to buy them, or Fox or something. And even then, they'll just turn it into that version of WWE's. But that's what I mean. WWE is not going anywhere, you know, and if Impact is still around, I'm sorry, but AEW is not going anywhere either.
Yeah.
So let's just support both of them, you know, while we can. And I mean, and hey, if you're one of the ones that support WWE, that support AEW, that support Impact, that support freaking New Japan, hey, more power to you, because like that's even more insane, because we're you know, this podcast, we just keep up with WWE, NXT, AEW, and then now we're going to have to keep up with Ring of Honor, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, just being a wrestling fan and following all the pages and the walk coaches and whatnot, you know, we're
wrestling.
We're just a podcast giving our ratings and our views, but you know, hey, those other podcasts are awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how you get to know all the other stuff that's going on. So like you said, like if you're one of the ones that get the clip notes from all, hey, we get the clip notes from the Impacts and the New Japans and all that and whatnot. But
yeah,
so just support them both. But yeah, my point of that was what was my point on that?
Well, we were just talking about Seth and Cody. And then, I think it was why, because I said that being an executive was like not that fun for him, or got old, and then he wanted to be a champion.
Yeah, and it just WrestleMania is, you know, he's even said he's made, that was my point, just WWE's going to give him the bigger checks. He's going to wrestle in front of the bigger crowds. It just is what it is, you know. Hey, you know, what AEW's built in just a few years is amazing, but hey, WWE's got 30 years on him, and they're global.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure, maybe, who never say never in the wrestling business. So I'm sure he'll maybe go back to AEW one day, but hey, he's got to fulfill the destiny first, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
Never say never, says Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly. But AEW, that's what I realized. The Young Bucks kind of gave me the idea when they wrote on their Twitter bio, they were like, what the fuck? I thought we're going to do All In 2, referring to Cody.
Yeah.
Like, that should, All In should be AEW's WrestleMania. Like, I'm sorry, not to say like they should call they're oh, they're copying WWE. It's like, hey, it's just like YouTube. Other YouTube channels copy other YouTube channels all the time, and it's not really copying if you like basically. Well, that's the thing. It's more like getting inspiration from, yeah. Or getting creativity from. But in the wrestling world, I guess it is copying, depending on who you ask. But anyway, like. AEW needs like a WrestleMania type thing, yeah. And I don't care if he's if it's copying WrestleMania. WrestleMania copied the Super Bowl, you know.
Exactly.
So yeah, yeah. So like that's what I hate about people that talk about, you know, oh, they're just copying things. It's like it's wrestling. You can only do so much before you repeat everything. It's like when they say the Simpsons predicted the future. It's like no, they have 600 episodes a season, so of course they're gonna hit on some things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, AEW needs that, but I, like I said, I, in 30 years from now, maybe, but you can never see an AEW stage, like, in a WrestleMania type AEW, you know,
like attendance, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like 78,000, that's a lot of freaking wrestling fans, yeah. In one building.
Yeah. So for what it is, support them both. Yeah. And they both have their places, and, yeah, just Cody is, fulfilling that destiny. So, yeah.
Proud of him.
Yeah.
So then after Seth and Cody, we had Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, which I thought was going to be the main event, but we'll get to the main event. But I also did hear that Ronda was pretty upset that she wasn't in the main event.
I think
event.
She addressed it like, no, she wasn't, but who knows?
Oh, apparently she told Ellen like 2 days before that she was going to be the main event. So I was like,
That was kind of awkward. Maybe yeah. More embarrassing. Well, I mean, technically she was, wasn't she?
Technically she was.
Was it Seth Cody before the Kevin Owens? No, I think she was before the Austin.
She was right before Stone Cold and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, see, so technically you were the main event. Yeah. Because Kevin Owens was at the, you know, Stone Cold thing was kind of like impromptu.
That's
say
true.
That.
Yeah,
so
it was real like, it was real spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, overall, it was a really, really good match. I know the point of it was that. I know the point of it was that Ronda was going to make Charlotte tap out, which obviously did not happen.
Yeah.
It was the
AJ Styles edge of night one. The match that you thought was going to be really good, but literally. You kind of sat there like,
yeah. Yeah. And then maybe it would have been something else if Ronda would have won, but Charlotte retained. So it was just like literally the same scenario with Edge and AJ. So
yeah, it was kind of awkward. So I'm going to give that a tour.
I'm going to give it a 2 also. Maybe if Ronda would have won, I'm just going to throw this out there, it would have gotten a 3.
Yeah,
but
maybe. But
2 for now.
Yeah, exactly. And then the main event, I mean, we don't really need to go too much into it. The fact that it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's amazing, yes. Literally.
So you had Kevin Owens, you know, in the KO show with Stone Cold. Like, they got us. Because it was, like, kind of disappointing thinking, like,
no match.
He has knee braces. They're going to get into it. They're going to fight. But I didn't think they would actually have a 14-minute match that went into the crowd. And like I said, like what I was saying during the match, I was like, okay, Stone Cold, you got this. Just do the hits. Just do the Stone Cold hits, all the main things.
Yeah.
And honestly, that was kind of more. They probably did more moves in that match than Roman and Brock did.
Literally,
because Roman and Brock was just like, you know, we're going to talk about it anyway. But Roman and Brock was just suplex spear.
Yeah.
Superman punch.
Yeah, Superman.
You know,
punch
belly to belly.
There.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, for Austin coming back 19 years later after his, you know, match with The Rock. Oh my gosh, I just. Literally, this is a 5. This is a brass ring. This is an example of a brass ring. And why? Because it's like, this is a standard. From now, like from this point on in this episode, this is the standard. Because this is probably I can't tell you like how many times in my childhood I witnessed great endings to great pay-per-views listening to that Stone Cold song with him just the pay-per-view going out like that. And this is probably the last time we're ever going to hear that again. Probably the last time we're going to have that feeling of a pay-per-view ending, hearing that Stone Cold Steve Austin song. And it just, that's a 5. It's just the best. It's the best. It's
little Vinny inside.
Yeah. Aww. I'm sure he'll, you know, there's going to be moments, but like, as far as a match, like we thought 19 years ago, this was the end. And we're like, oh, we always knew. I think all wrestling fans always knew. He's going to like, everyone comes back. He's going to come back one day. And he finally did. They finally friggin' literally Vince gave him a blank check or something and said, what do you want? You
know,
because then there was rumors that he was going to wrestle, but then he was going to take the pin. So he said, no, it just, man, what a moment that resonates. Yeah. Like I saw a TikTok about that with that sound. That's like your childhood is expiring. Like we had the Undertaker Hall of Fame. We had Triple H put his boots in the ring. We had, we know it's, this is it. Like, he's not going to come back. Like, the only time he'll come back is another 19 years. And by that point, he's not going to be physically able to do it. So I really think this is the end. This was the last match, you know? Yeah. And so this is the last time we're going to go out in a pay-per-view hearing that music. So it's like, this is the end. This is the real end of an era.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. For sure. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like you waited 19 years for this and it finally happened.
Yeah.
On a random day in 2002.
Yeah, like Cody said, wrestling is a love story.
2022. Right? Huh? I said 2002.
I that's crazy because you said that, but then in my brain, I thought 2022.
Oh, okay.
We're just on that level.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But like Cody Rhodes says, wrestling is a love story, and that's kind of the story. It's like, because remember they said with the Brock Roman match, this is going to crown like the guy of this generation. So it's kind of like this was the official old generation phasing out, and here we are.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a five. That's a fiver.
Five all the way.
That's a fiver. Five. Night two. We're going to speed through this. I mean, like we talked about Triple H retiring, that's a fiver.
Yeah.
Because, again, last time, you know, just that moment.
It was
moment.
Actually sad. It was quick and sad.
Yes, because we know, same thing with Triple H, you know, we didn't really talk about that, but it is sad. Then when we heard the news that he was done, I was like, okay, no, he's not done. Like, if he has heart issues, I'm sure, like, in 5 years or something, medicine will be better, he'll be fine. But no, he has a defibrillator in his heart that needs to zap him if he ever, like, goes under cardiac arrest, I guess.
Yeah.
And, man, he's done.
Pretty much.
He's done. And so, like I said, I'm going to get a five because, like, with the Stone Cold, we're never going to get another Triple H, basically, retirement.
Yeah.
In-ring retirement. And that was it. And the fact that he did it, like, Triple H did it like a boss.
He did.
Like, he did. Like, literally the most unselfish way, I could say. And he's just like, hey, here's my boots. Everyone knew and, you know. Welcome to WrestleMania, and then boom, boots in the ring, I'm out.
Yep.
Like, damn.
He exited stage left.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to give the segment a five also.
Yeah. Triple H is awesome.
Yes.
Yes. So, and then from that, we went to RK Bros versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy for the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Shush.
Yeah, again, they're growing on me.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, man, what did they do to my boy Otis?
Literally Otis.
But they're growing on me. I like Alpha Academy now.
Yeah.
And especially the shush.
Shush.
It's great. That's great. Great match. Really great match.
I thought it was really
great
also.
A lot of action, a lot of physicality, a lot of offense. So I'm going to give this match a 3. This is awesome.
I'm going to give it a 3 also.
Nice.
Not much to say about it other than... Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Lashley almost. Honestly, I was pretty excited about this match, but as far as the match goes and everything with it, because I thought almost had a cool. I mean, almost is just a presence, man. Just him. He doesn't need to have a special interest. Just him walking out was a special interest. Because it amazes me that people are still that tall nowadays.
He's just a giant.
You know what I mean?
And he can't even talk right.
Yes.
Like, his vocal cords are so squished in his body from all of his skin. I don't know.
Yes, that's how the anatomy works. No, it's probably like, because even the great Khali has that. It's like when he's so big that his tongue is probably big and makes him hard to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Lashley, I mean, I've always liked Lashley since I was a kid. I think I still have a magazine with his there was an old wrestling magazine that Bobby Lashley shared his grandma's oatmeal cookie recipe. And I had my mom make those cookies. They were really good.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Your mom has made Bobby Lashley grandma cookies?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So shout out Bobby Lashley's grandma. we tried your cookie recipe.
Oh my God, I love that.
Oh, so, but I mean... I don't know. Now I want to give it a 3, but I had it written down as a 2. But, I mean, realistically, I give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 3, and I think...
Okay, 3.
But I think it's just a good thing that we can just go into it about what happened on Raw with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about that for
now
a second?
That might have been a 4. That might have been an elite moment because, man, I did not see that coming.
Zero.
Yes.
Yeah, so expectation of that.
And I was wondering why MVP wasn't at Mania. I don't know if it was just like an issue where he wasn't there, but then they played it into the storyline or it was going to always be part of the storyline because basically MVP came out and introduced Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley came out and basically said that, like, he did it. You know, he didn't need anybody.
Yeah.
Almost comes out and then...
He almost demands a rematch is what happens.
Yes.
And Bobby's like basically saying like, no, like I won. And then You want to?
Yeah, the shock.
The shock on her face.
Yes, I did not see MVP. Well, I don't know if they, technically, I don't know if MVP was still heel, but Bobby Lashley was kind of cool, so yeah. I don't know. But anyway, that was a heel turn, and that was a shock of the cinch.
Yes.
Yeah, that I didn't see that coming. So MVP, and it makes sense. We're just talking about almost in his talking. You know, nothing against him. I mean, it's just science and genetics, you know, just the way it goes. So not trying to make fun of him, but now he has a mouthpiece. They can really talk for him.
They can put him over.
And it kind of makes sense. Like, MVP is literally the best because he's literally doing his job. Because literally, again, like we're talking about, you know, kind of the theme here. Like, we're talking about transitions. Like, MVP literally, that was the whole point, was to bring Bobby Lashley, kind of like bring Bobby Lashley back up. When Bobby Lashley came back and, you know, you had your ups and downs with the the Hurt, what is it called?
The Hurt Business?
I want to call it Hurt Academy. I almost called it Hurt Academy.
I was going to say the Hurt Locker, but that's his
move. Hurt Locker. Yeah, exactly.
Hurt Business.
Literally, he did it because Bobby Lashley literally got to the status with him that he really kind of doesn't need him anymore. So now MVP is going to do that with Omos. And
that's cool.
You know, and I did like the fact that MVP got physical. He, you know, he did his kick and everything. Because he's been having knee problems. So that's good to see that he's actually doing better with that. So maybe one day we'll see him in a match. Oh, Bobby Lashley versus MVP. I'll see that again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because MVP was good when I was a kid. Yeah. You know, at one point he was tag team and U.S. champion.
Yeah. I even thought he beat Bobby's ass on Raw.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he did. Yeah, so and I think he's from Houston too. So shout out Texas, our Texas peeps, MVP. Now the surprise, underrated, like shocked match, shocked me like wow we'll match of the
down,
night.
It will go down in history.
It's like
as...
it was the best like gimmick. It was the best WrestleMania gimmick match ever. Better than the gimmick Battle Royal on WrestleMania 17. Get that shit out of here. But, yeah, oh, my gosh, was this a good match. Like, we watched it. Like, we went back and watched it over, and we might watch it again because it's just so – it's just like, yes, it's not pure wrestling. It's Johnny Knoxville. What do you want? Like, you really expect him to – you know, but for what – you know, he did good for what it's worth. And, he did. Even they said, you know, he knows his way around the ring. But, man, was this a entertaining match.
Yes. It was all the props.
Yeah,
it was just a fun match. And it was just exciting. And it's like, like they were taking these like super hard like bumps and kicks to the nuts and shit. And like
it helped too because we actually watched Jackass Forever the night before.
Yes.
To like kind of hype us up for it. And then the fact that like we literally saw Dark Shark and Jasper.
Yes.
It's like it just topped it off because
we
never would have saw Jackass Forever before. We wouldn't know who those new characters were.
That's true.
Yeah. So that kind of helped. So yeah, if you didn't like this match, go watch. And you haven't seen Jackass Forever, trust me. Go watch Jackass Forever and watch this match. And I know commercials lie all the time, but in the Jackass commercial, when it says you will laugh till you hurt, you literally will. There's so many parts where we had to pause it because we were laughing for like 10 minutes. It's so good.
It is so like, hilarious.
Probably the best Jackass movie, I hate to say. And you know, sorry, Bam Margera, because Bam Margera was actually my favorite from the Jackass crew. I had all the Viva La Bams. I was obsessed with Viva La Bam at one point, but... Man, was this? It might have been one of the better ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, other than like the first one, of course.
Yeah, I don't even remember them all like that.
Yeah, the first one was. Second one was kind of. Third one was Jobber. I'm sorry to say, the third one was Jobber.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, that's another story. But yeah, I'm gonna give this match. I really want to give it a 4. But I feel like one day it might come back to bite us. People would be like, oh, you shouldn't trust his rating. They give the Sammy Johnny Knoxville a 4. You know what? Fuck it. I'm giving it a 4.
I'm giving it a 4.
It was entertaining.
Also.
It was elite.
It was freaking hilariously funny and entertaining. You just said it.
Yes. Okay.
The best. All right.
So come at me. It's getting a 4. All right? The Women's Tag Team Champion match. Champion. There we go. That's literally it. Sums it up right there.
That's it.
No, I actually like this match. I really did. I think again, this is awesome, Jan. Because this is why I like this match. Because WrestleMania is notorious for cutting. Now, if they don't cut a women's match, they're notorious for giving a women's match at WrestleMania literally 5 minutes. So the fact that they got all of them, like I literally thought like, oh my God, I literally had anxiety because I'm like, there's literally what 8 people in this match. If they literally give this match 6, 7, even like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It's, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for them. So the fact that they got a little more time.
Yeah.
I think it was good.
I think it was because they all got their
stuff in.
Yeah, for sure.
They all got their stuff in.
There was more people involved and like the, you know, the groups that they tried to put together. I mean, of course, at the end, it ended up being Naomi and Sasha, which I was kind of expecting. But I just really wanted Rhea and Liv to win. I know they were kind of like just put together. And like now it's not even going so well as you, if you saw Raw, right? Yeah. Like Rhea's like really annoyed with Liv and stuff right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of, at first I was kind of about the pairings. Like, well, then until I remembered when they brought it up that Naomi and Sasha actually used to be in a faction together called Team Bad, but it was only like for a little bit when they had like, I think it was like a Survivor Series thing. I may be wrong, but yeah, it was only for a little bit. So they have that history. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then Liv and Rhea, like, you're right. They like were like, I felt like they were like, they even said they were the tag team they're meant to be. So
yeah,
or the people. Yeah. They were meant to be a tag team. And I really think they fit together. And then now they're doing this storyline. Like, what's going on?
Come on. I'm going to give this match a one.
Oh, I forgot Natalia and Shayna Baszler.
I was literally going to say, and then Natty and Shayna Baszler were just there.
That was kind of just like the wild card.
Yeah, for sure. That was like majorly put together, obvious.
Yeah, but the fact that Sasha and Naomi won, I think that was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would you rate it?
What did I have here? Ooh. Why did I put that?
Why did you put that?
I have no idea. Maybe I meant to switch them.
Oh. Yeah,
like I said, I give it a 3 because I'm given all the aspects, the fact that they all got their stuff in, the fact that it was only women's match of the night, and based on the history. So I might be getting too political with my rating, but I think it was good to see. It was refreshing to see.
Okay, you convinced me because I was going to say 1, but I was contemplating on 2. So I'm going to give it a 2.
Potato?
I was going to give it a potato.
What? Okay, now that's disrespectful.
Sorry.
All right, you give it.
But I give it a 2. I changed my mind.
If you're at 2 and I was at 3, I was gonna give it a 3, or I was actually gonna give it a 4, but I'll drop down to 2.
Okay.
I'll give it a 2.
Okay, nice.
It's solid.
Yeah. Okay, so our next match leading in, and this kind of like puts it together because there's something I wanted to bring to your attention that I want to get your opinion on. But first, Edge and AJ. You know, I know they had, like, their stuff and story going into it. They'd never had a match before, right? Edge, like, kind of, like, found his new self, his new, like, character. Yep. I think the match, though, was just super, super unnecessarily long.
Like I said, Edge, I love the new, like, look, the gimmick or whatever you want to call it, character. I love it because, like I was telling you, it's like there's a phase when the wrestler comes back, you know, and they kind of wear out that welcome, and then they just become a shell of their old selves. Edge was like, you know, no disrespect. I love Edge. Edge is awesome. One of my all-time favorites. But he was literally, and I think he knew, he was literally becoming that shell of his old, because at first it's like, oh my gosh, Edge is back after 10 years. Everything's amazing. He, you know, luckily got to ride that wave for like 2 years.
Yeah.
But I think you realize after a while, it's just, okay, it's, you know, it's Edge. Like, we all love Edge, but, you know, he needed to add something different, and boom, did he add something different, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, the reinventing of himself is awesome. And I love that entrance with the wings. You know, when the wings on the Titantron, it looks like they're like his wings.
Like, that's perfectly
so cool.
Set.
And the WrestleMania entrance was so cool with the freaking, you know, Brood style WrestleMania entrance, but with the king, with the throne. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. AJ Styles, I love AJ Styles. Great. Always liked AJ Styles, even in TNA. Like, he was one of those that I actually wanted to watch, you know, made me want to watch TNA. That's what TNA is missing now. People that make you want to watch it. But, yeah, like I said, love Edge. Love AJ Styles, always have, always will. I fell asleep during this match.
He literally did, guys.
And I know we had just ate, so maybe I was like a little food coma, a little food baby going up in there. But I'm sorry, guys. I fell asleep.
I
fell asleep for like 15 minutes, and I woke up, and this match was still going on.
Still going on. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yes. And I just remember, the only thing I remember this match is there was so many false finishes to where there was no more excitement. It was 1, 2... kick out, and everyone was like, it was like they literally ruined the false finish. Like, I'm so sorry. This had the effects of AJ Styles, Nakamura, of Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey. Like, I think that's what it is with WrestleMania too. And because this happened with Triple H and Batista's last match. There's some matches that they want to give a lot of time to that they really just can't have that much time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm, you know, people are saying like if this was Edge and AJ 10 years ago, it would have been a totally different match. And, you know, maybe that's the case. So we got to respect that. But at the same time, it's like, like sometimes maybe too long, you know, is too much.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. Maybe that was the thing.
It was very unnecessarily long. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of glad that it came and gone. Because, well, do you want to rate it first? Because I just want to mention what happened after the match.
I'll give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 2 also.
Almost got a potato, but it gets a 2 just because, like I said, the respect and the fact that it was a solid match and the fact that, you know, for what I saw.
Yeah.
And then the entrances, you know. And, well, we did talk about how AJ knocked himself in the...
Oh, my God. He already came out of his entrance and he was bleeding and we were like, what's going on?
Yeah, he knocked himself on the little,
little stage. Like, thing. Literally, the stage thing coming out to the ramp.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 2 also. And then after the match, you see Damian Priest come in. And, you know, he has his, like, the Damian character going on where he's, like, all dark and stuff. And he comes and, like, kind of, like, you can tell him and Edge have, like, are starting to form their faction, right? And then on Raw.
The House of Black on Wish.
The House of Black on Wish.com. Brody King.
Shout out Brody King.
Literally. That was awesome. It was awesome. I thought it was funny.
At Caven Universe on Twitter. Yes.
And so... Like, you know, they come out and apparently, like, as you see, they're, like, forming this thing, the, you know, Damian Priest and Edge. But there's also been word, and that could be why they're trying to break them up, that Rhea Ripley could join. Like, be, like, a female mixed in there with the darkness, you know? And she already kind of, like,
and especially with her personal relationship with Damian Priest, like, them being really good
besties,
friends.
Besties,
Wow.
Right?
That is interesting.
I knew you would like it. I liked it when I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Hopefully that plays out.
Yeah. If that plays out, that's awesome. And then I know they're talking like, well, then now AJ and Finn need to come together and create some kind of bullet club against Edge and them. I'm sorry, guys. We don't need to do that. And we all know, like, you know, like I was telling you, like, it was not too long ago before when WWE was jobber.
Yeah.
Like, really jobber. Now it's actually getting really good for what it's worth. Maybe it was just the hype of WrestleMania, but... we still know with some things WWE is going to put their watered down version of it. So we do not need another watered down version of the Bullet Club, you know, but maybe like, hey, prove me wrong, you know, do it and make it good.
Yeah.
Don't do it and make it shitty. Cause then I'm going to be right here saying I told you so.
Literally.
But yeah, for what it's worth, I think, that's awesome. That would be a good faction. Then, you know, a match that we thought was cut from night one, but ended up being on night 2, the old Sheamus and Ridge Holland versus the New Day. Well, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. Xavier Woods he was wearing basically Big E's gear as a kind of a tribute.
They both were.
Oh, yeah, they were, right? Mm-hmm. What Kofi was wearing?
Yeah, they were wearing, like, what Big E wears.
Huh, maybe that's a Mandela effect I'm thinking of, huh? Maybe. That's crazy. Maybe I have a different memory of Kofi wrestling because I don't remember him with that gear. We gotta go back and watch it.
Because
I think that was after that other match. So maybe I was coming coming out of a food coma, so I was waking up.
Well, the good news is when we go back and watch it, we only need to free up like 2 minutes for the
match. It was a short match. Yeah. This was like the real popcorn match. Again, it should have got a little more time. Maybe it should have been on night one. You know, but like I said, and it was, I think it was Tuz 2 coming off of the Edge AJ. It just, the crowd was kind of meh.
Yeah, I think they were already meh. I think they were already starting to get tired.
Yeah, exactly. I can imagine. The fact that they were still in Dallas on Raw, I would not. I would be like, no, we're good. We went to WrestleMania. We do not need to go to Raw after Mania.
We'll watch Raw at home.
Yeah, because that's why we talk about before we continue talking about the Sheamus Ridge Holland deal, that's why people get fed up by the Raw after Mania, because they've been going to all these shows for so long. So they're like, okay, we just saw all this stuff all week. We saw an amazing WrestleMania. This Raw better be good or we're going to take it over. And what did they do? There was literally, I thought they said we want Rusev during the Damian Priest Edge segment of Raw, but they're actually saying we are losers because Edge called them losers. Then Damian Priest came out and started talking. They were saying, we don't care. Like, you know, oh my gosh, this is
I don't know. I just, it's too cringy.
Yeah. It's when those when things happen, that, yeah. Even the what chants leading up to Mania, it's like, people stop. Like, the what chants, like, it's so disrespectful.
It
and
is.
And maybe that's the point for some people, but it's like, it's just not only disrespectful, just stupid. Like, again, when I go on these rants in a few episodes, I'll let you know. But, you know, I have the top three chants that I absolutely despise. And let me give you a hint. What is one of them? Is number one on that list of chants I hate. Anyway. I think that, I know the whole Big E situation, you know, thankfully he's okay and it's a fracture and it's nothing worse. And he basically narrowly escaped death or paralysis. We always send big, you know, wishes to Big E. You know, he probably doesn't know who exists and probably will never know we exist, but yeah, we wish him well. I really think Ridge Holland should have sat out for this match.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I said, I know it's an accident. I know accidents happen. I know he's apologetic and he has no heat after it. But I would just say, hey, fair is fair. Big E missed WrestleMania. You got to, too. So it should have been Sheamus and old Butch.
Yeah.
Old Pete Butch. You should call him Pete Butch. Old Pete Butch.
Yeah.
Versus Kingston and Woods. But we didn't get that. The match was fast anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to just, out of respect, give it a 2.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say the same also, because to be honest with you, I wasn't, like, upset when I heard that it may have been cut. I was just like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 2 also.
Yeah. And then something of noteworthy, we had the final Hall of Fame appearance from everyone, you know, when they show everyone the Hall of Fame. So basically the final time The Undertaker came out and said his goodbye. I was going to give this segment a 5, but considering the never say never, because it was like this, again, just like Stone Cold, just like Triple H, this is the last farewell of The Undertaker. But
yeah.
Never say never, right? And I think he could still go. So, oh, man, I can see him coming back for one more match. So I'm going to give a segment a 4 because it's not. I don't think this is the end.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the end.
I'm going to agree with you on that 4. Mm-hmm. And that I hope to see Undertaker again.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. And can Kane still go? Like, can we have another Brothers of Destruction run, even if it's just for one match?
Yeah, can he bury him again? What? That'd be cool.
Yeah, there you go. Let's do a whole nother Kane versus Taker feud.
Yeah.
But then the fact is, they've done so many documentaries and farewells and all this with the Undertaker. It's like they have. I remember when I was a kid, I had like an Undertaker like greatest hits and like a whole documentary about his career. It's like, can you imagine how many times they've had to update that?
I know, all right? The That's so returns. True.
Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory. So, of course, we're fans of Pat McAfee. I watch his show all the time. He's actually gotten me more into football than I've ever been, which is awesome. And, you know, of course, you're always, you know, around. So you hear his show. And then, you know, sometimes we watch certain parts together, depending on guests or what they're talking about. So Pat McAfee's awesome. And, what do you think about this match?
I think it absolutely delivered, because I was kind of, like, iffy, because only reason being was because, yeah, I knew Pat McAfee, but I didn't know how he wrestled, right? He had only had his one little feud in NXT, and then that was it. And I think that was, like, around the pandemic time, right? So they didn't even have an audience or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my only thing. Like, I was like, oh, I hope he doesn't come out here and suck. Yeah. But to be honest with you, like, football player, his entrance was super cool. Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. What's the band called? It's on the tip of my tongue.
White Stripes?
Yeah.
White Stripe, Seven Nation Army.
Yeah, Seven Nation Army.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was an awesome entrance. Awesome entrance.
Yes.
Hey, Pat, I love you, Pat. Love you. Let's put on a little muscle. Let's put on like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
10 pounds of muscle. I know I have a gut now, but hey, trust me. I know I can train you. I can train you. We can put on some muscle. Like, come on, Pat. Like, you're going to be, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
Yeah. If you switch up, if you work on the muscles, I'll work on, if you help him get the muscles, and I'll help him with his wardrobe, because I think he could have worn something else.
Like, I know that's his signature look, but bro, like, this is your WrestleMania match.
Yes.
Like, and I know Johnny Knoxville didn't dress the best, but he's, I think it's Johnny Carson. Him dressing like that is an old, like, Johnny Carson bit when he wrestled and he dressed like that. I think it's Johnny Carson. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But, come on, Pat. What the hell? What the hell is that? Your fucking glittery fucking tank top? Like, really? And your ripped bullshit ass jeans? I know that's your look, but you're wrestling.
Yeah.
Anyway. Take note from Logan Paul.
Right? That's true.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I'm saying, like, again, Pat McAfee don't know he exists, never will. But come on. Put on some muscle. Find new gear. But other than that, I love you.
Literally, and the match. The match is great.
Match is great. Match is great. Now, as far... Okay. So the Pat McAfee, Austin Theory match, I'm going to give it a... Give it a 2.
Alone, I'm going to give it a 2 also.
Now, Pat McAfee versus Vince McMahon. Potato. It gets a potato. Gets a 1. Because what the hell was that? I understand, like, with the whole Mae Young when she came back and they had her wrestle. I forgot. But then they, like, literally two other, you know, they were divas back then. But female superstars were holding her up while she pinned with her leg. Like, it was one of those things where literally it was like a video game. It was literally like Pat McAfee was just all of a sudden fighting, like, Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson's punch out.
Yeah.
Like, fighting the final boss. And literally, when you that final boss, we literally just one hit. Like, Vince was literally just doing that. And Pat McAfee was just running into his arm. Like, I understand, like, Vince can't really wrestle a match at his age. But, like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. It's like, you could definitely tell his age and just, like, everything getting to him. Like, he can, like, when I saw him taking off his jacket, I was like, put the jacket back on. You do not belong in that ring.
Yes. I understand the moment. Like I said, so this is going to range because the Pat McAfee Austin Theory gets a 2. Then it jumps down to a 1 with the Pat McAfee versus Vince.
Yeah.
But as far as the moment goes, when you include what happened after that with Stone Cold, automatically jumps up to a 5. But like I said, the brass ring level is ending the show on the Steve Austin moment. So I'll check myself and I'll give it a 4.
4 also.
So it goes from 2 to 1. To the segment as a whole, afterwards with Stone Cold, a 4.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pat McAfee said he had like 30 beers.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, and then that meme we posted was like, where it's him. It's
oh my God, that's like a perfect shot.
Oh yes.
When Cabin, he's like laying on the floor pouring the beers.
That was awesome. So that was funny. Amazing. Check it out at Cabin Universe on Instagram. It's probably gone by the time you'll see this, but oh well. Follow us. Even though Instagram is dead, we'll talk more about that on our next Cave in Universe episode.
Oh, for sure.
Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. What did you think?
I think that Roman was a champ for sticking out the injury until the very end.
Yeah. Yeah. With that being said, and just the presence, Roman, the badass entrance, you know, the ending of the match was rushed.
Yeah. Repetitive.
Yeah, very repetitive, maybe because of Roman's arm. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, for what it's worth, I'm going to give it a 3.
Man, this is a tough one. I'm debating between 4 and 3. And I think because...
4?
Yeah.
It wasn't a wrestling match, that's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was just the feeling of it. Like, because I don't know.
Because the way I think of it, you have technical wrestling match.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, gimmick, comedy match, like, hardcore type match. And then you have, like, a brawl type match. This kind of was, like, neither.
Yeah.
It was on a different level, I guess.
Yeah. But I see what you're level, saying.
I don't know. It was more like, okay, I guess, like, in between brawl and, like, gimmicky. Because the fact that it's Brock Lesnar, just you can only do so much.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just, like, I feel like it's just, like, two beasts, like, doing the same stuff. You know, like, they have their
go-to. Two big, meaty men smashing together.
I think you convinced me. I'm going to go with 3.
All right. Give it a 3.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good it was good for its spot, mm-hmm. I guess you can say. And look, they've been trying to have this moment with Roman for how many WrestleManias now? Yeah. And I think let's just give it to them. Let's just say they finally did it. Roman got his WrestleMania, so we can finally have a different main event, you know, from now on. Because Roman and Brock, like, it's becoming like John Cena, Randy Orton now.
I never
two need... great people, great, you know, but together it's like, okay, we've seen it a million times.
I was going to say, I never need to see Roman versus Brock ever again.
Yeah.
Because that was just, Let's
wrap it up, guys. But it was good. No, it was good. And the fact that Roman, like, had on Raw was getting the Roman chant, like, this is what was supposed to happen, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so we're finally getting it.
And well deserved.
Yeah, like I've said before on this podcast, Roman's doing the best work of his career, and it's awesome. That's great.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm. So overall, what would you give night one?
Overall, night one, I think I'm going to give it a 4.
I was going to say 5. But then again, I'm including the Stone Cold moment. If you're looking at the, all the other matches, I'm okay. I agree with four.
Four?
Four. So night one gets a four. Night two gets a what?
Night two gets a...
A three. I would say three.
You know what? Yeah, because you're right. We're taking all the other matches into account, so three.
Well, we only have... We actually don't have any fives other than The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Well, the Stone Cold is a five, or Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those aren't the actual matches. Yeah, these were, like, kind of stuff that were just, like,
they
were
putting. I'm changing it. Night one, a four. Night two, a two. So that overall WrestleMania as a whole is a three. Do you agree with that?
Okay, I can agree with that. Boom. For sure.
WrestleMania gets a three.
We just figured it out, guys.
So WrestleMania, this is awesome. Gets a three. It's not quite elite, not quite brass ring, but yeah. there were a lot of, you know, few good brass ring and elite moments in there. So yeah, mm-hmm. WrestleMania overall gets a three. On Raw, let's see, what didn't we talk about?
What,
we talked
yeah,
about
what
the Cody
miss?
Promo, the Bianca promo. We talked about that. Of course, Braun and Dolph Ziggler with the NXT title.
Oh, I called that one. Yeah. I was like, it's only fair. Dolph Ziggler won the NXT champion on NXT. And so Braun Breaker in Raw, like he was coming for the champ. And then I was just going to mention that they ended up doing new belts for
NXT
women's
colorful
and men's.
Oh, yeah, the colorful NXT belts. I mean, I liked it for the women's. For the men's, I almost thought it was kind of necessary, but it matches the brand, I guess, now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just does. Like, my first thought was like, boy, they're really going all out with this splatter paint.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's going to be NXT moving forward. And I think, like I said, we're going to try to cover NXT. We were going to cover it tonight. We're going to talk about, because NXT was tonight. We're recording on a Tuesday. By the time you listener hear that or watch this, it's going to be on Wednesday. So, or hopefully Wednesday, depending on the editing.
Yeah.
So AEW will be out. We're going to talk about AEW this episode too, but we're actually going to push that probably next time because we'll watch AEW.
We got to catch up. This whole week, we can just be honest, this whole week has been about WWE just because it was WrestleMania week.
Yeah. So next time we'll definitely talk about AEW and we'll try to talk about NXT, but oh my gosh, we try to sit down and watch NXT tonight and boy.
It's News
just
like, fest.
It's just cheesy. It's just cheesy. There's lots of great wrestlers, lots of great matches, lots of great gimmicks, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
But it's just cheesy. Like, let's face it, the best thing about NXT right now is Toxic Attraction and Mandy Rose.
That is not true. Do not listen to anything he just said.
Oh, God. Stupid. I'm just kidding. but, I mean, yeah, just very cheesy. And but I like Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker's cool.
Yeah, Braun Breaker's cool. But I like Chase U, the student section.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. You know, I wonder if they're going to do anything between him and Alpha Academy, you know, one
maybe,
day.
Maybe, that would be cool.
Yeah, kind of.
When Chase U goes to the main roster, if ever.
Right. there was something else I was going to say about that, about NXT. It's just like, I mean, or even the fans might be getting fed up with it because even tonight on NXT, we got we don't care chance.
No,
with the
that
whole,
was
that
dumb.
Whole love story. Or yeah, that was stupid or something
or, yeah,
between
something like that.
That love story between Dexter and Indy and those other. Yeah, that was just
so cheesy. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get more into NXT. I know we've even said that before months ago on this podcast, but like, oh my gosh, it's like we honestly dip in and out of NXT because it's like sometimes it's so cheesy. We're just like, oh, it's Tuesday, NXT's on, and we're just like,
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, that's literally how it was with Impact. Like, we tried to like, hey, you can say what you want, say, oh, you're not real wrestling, man, you shouldn't have a wrestling podcast. Like, hey, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
We watch what we watch, you know, and we've still been watching forever. So, you know, especially if you're younger than me saying that, get to the curb because you guarantee you haven't been watching wrestling as long as I have.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, if you're older than me saying that, like, hey, go watch tape of Hulk Hogan, okay? Nobody likes Hulk Hogan. I grew up in a generation where like Hulk Hogan was already gone and he even did have that comeback and I was like, Hulk Hogan, I've always thought Hulk Hogan was a fucking jobber since I was a child. Like, if you're a Hulk Hogan fan, like, I don't want to hear what you have to say either. All right, get out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like when Cody was doing his promo and he brought up Hulk Hogan, the crowd would go, boo, and he goes, and The Undertaker, yay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yes.
Proves it.
Yeah. When I got introduced into wrestling, I got introduced to The Rock, to the Stone Colds, to The Undertakers, the Kurt Angles, the Triple H's.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then when I find out, you know, when I'm watching tape and stuff, like, oh, the star back then used to be Hulk Hogan. It's like, who? This fucking Hulk Hogan looked like he was freaking 60 and bald in 1990.
Literally.
How was he the star? Like, were people really that? Like, I guess that was that the average person? Like, literally looked up to Hulk Hogan? Is that how freaking conservative and dumb this country used to be? Like, okay, that's what it is. If you listen to the Cave In Universe, you know my problem with boomers. That's what it was. Yeah. All boomers. Boomers are Hulk Hogan fans. That's what it is.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Literally, you just said it. Like, it just clicked in my head. Like, I already knew that, but you just, like, proved it all.
There we go. So, there I am. Anyway, what do you think about Ezekiel?
First of all, when the music hit and we see Ezekiel on the screen, literally the first words out of your mouth is, who's this? Until the camera gets a little bit closer and I'm like, oh my God, literally his entire beard is gone. That I don't agree with. He should have left the beard. And like, what is going on, WWE creative? He's, like, what is that?
I didn't like the guitar game. I didn't like the guitar gimmick that he used to have, but I liked his look.
Yes, I think that's what it was. Gone. I think that's what it was. Now he just looks like a foreign alien. Like, he just looks, I don't even know what that is, but I just made that up. He just, like, looks so funny looking now.
I don't understand. I don't want to say it, but you know, hey.
And the fact that literally
might get featured soon.
Yeah, and the fact that literally, like, I don't know what they're planning because they're still kind of, like, bringing Elias into it. Like, for example, like, Butch isn't coming in saying, I'm Pete Dunne's cousin.
Exactly.
You know, like, they're still bringing up Elias, and Kevin Owens is literally saying, like, dude, I know that's you. Like,
and they're trying to, like, laugh it off, like, make a comedy bit after it. It's like, I understand, like, in the moment that was funny, but it's like, that's what they're doing with him.
Yeah, that he's Elias's younger brother.
And did you see the tweet he took it out? He took over Elias's Twitter and said, hey, this is Ezekiel, Elias's younger brother, I'm taking over his Twitter from now on. It's like, are you serious?
Oh my God.
Like, what?
We just gotta see where this goes, because I don't even know what to say anymore.
I was gonna, yeah, and then Veer, he just came in and beat up the Mysterios, so there's
I didn't like him because of that. Like, I was like, who the hell do you think you are?
Waited this whole time, and that was it.
We waited fucking 365 days for this guy to show up, and, not really. I just
like I said, Ricochet didn't do anything. Ricochet didn't do anything with at WrestleMania with the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Why did they take it off of Sami Zayn before WrestleMania? You literally could have had. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the entertainment aspect, people. Just hear me out. You have said, because I know a lot of people are like, have a David Arquette moment with Johnny Knoxville is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what you do. Wait, is it? Ah, you know what? This ruins it because the Intercontinental title is not on. Well, he should have debuted it on SmackDown. Okay, hear me out. This is what you got to do. You should have had Sami Zayn face Johnny Knoxville for the Intercontinental title. Yeah. Hear me out for one week, I guess it would be, till SmackDown. For 1 week, have Johnny Knoxville be the David Arquette of WWE and carry the Intercontinental title. Johnny Knoxville comes out on SmackDown, brags how he's the Intercontinental champion. Veer comes out, squashes, and then they somehow, you know, they can always do that. They go do bullshit. Somehow you have an impromptu match right there where it's Veer versus Johnny Knoxville for the Intercontinental title. Boom. Veer smashes Johnny Knoxville. Veer's the Intercontinental title. That's how you do a debut. Or Intercontinental champion. I said Intercontinental title. That's how you do a debut.
Yeah, that definitely would have been much better.
And that's how you automatically make him a heel. He has the title. He squashed Johnny Knoxville and then literally have him squash everyone for the title. Boom, he's a powerhouse. You can have him versus Roman Reigns in a pay-per-view. You got your heel for that pay-per-view.
Literally. Like, they had so much potential. I don't understand.
I don't understand coming out and squashing materials. The materials. The Mysterios, we've been going on for too long. We get to a point in the podcast where we go on for too long where I don't know what I'm saying.
And I don't know what I'm thinking. Exactly.
Yes. I guess having him go out and attacking the Mysterios was just to get him heat quick. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's literally, you know, no pun intended to the podcast, but that's cheap heat.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Literally.
You know, we talked about RK-Bro. Well, I mean, just RK-Bro on Raw, the RK-Bro with Finn and Usos with Theory. That match was, again, awesome match, nonstop action. Randy Orton, like Roman, I've been watching Randy Orton since I was a child or a teenager, doing the best work of his career just because you can tell, like, just like Brock, you can just tell he's having fun.
Yes.
And when you can kind of see that as a fan, like, you know, past the character, you know, past the, you know they're having fun, that kind of makes it cooler.
Yeah.
We talked about the Edge Priest thing, Carmella, Queen Zelina. What do you think about that? You know, they lost the titles, of course, to Naomi and Sasha. So you got this little breakup going on.
I mean, that's more. Yeah. And then they brought in like Corey Graves into it and stuff. And then what's with the making out on the camera? Like,
get a room. Literally. No, I'm just kidding. And then, of course, you ended Raw with the Roman promo, which is pretty much symbolizing the next, you know, where basically this is like, I know sometimes they're like, oh, the new season of Raw, the season, or they'll be like, the season finale Raw, and the next week is like the new season of Raw. Like, you know, it's like the season premiere, like the next week after the
and
season
finale.
And it's
just like a random day.
Yeah, but everyone knows that like that the Raw or the week after WrestleMania is like the real, like, you know, of course at Backlash you're going to have some rematches, but it's the real like reset button, because I don't think we're going to see Roman and Brock again at Backlash. So, basically I think Roman's promo was just like, hey, I'm still here and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And it's called WrestleMania Backlash is the name for it.
Dumb. Dumb. But anyway, what else you think?
I don't know. Let's just see. Like, I feel like I'm so out of tune with AEW right now, like, it's crazy. Like, I'm ready for, tomorrow's Wednesday, right? I'm ready for Wednesday, ready to see, you know, kind of catch up, a little bit there, and then,
we're definitely, I mean, of course, we always keep up with AEW, it's NXT that we're really kind of dipping in and out of, but we'll for sure talk about AEW next time. We'll try to talk about some NXT, of course, like I said, WrestleMania kick, you know, we're still hyped on, you know, WrestleMania hypes everyone for WWE, so, you know, we're gonna be keeping up with that. This podcast isn't really going to be a weekly podcast. It's mainly going to be revolved around pay-per-view. So, of course, there's a WWE pay-per-view or special premium event every month. So, of course, there's always going to be something on that. With AEW, I mean, of course, we'll do episodes talking about those events or those pay-per-views when they come out. But, we're also going to be trying to throw something else here and there just to fill out the podcast for the month. You know, some special type episodes where we just talk about things like, you know, theme music, fun topics. But along with those, then, of course, we're going to recap what's been going on, you know, in the wrestling. So, we'll try, what do you say, 2 episodes a month is what we're going to try to do?
Yeah,
at least two to three episodes a month. You know, three max, I guess you could say. Yeah. Depends what we got going on that month. Because that's the thing. It's hard to prepare for these episodes unless we, like I said, we're not going to be, you know, we just can't be a weekly, you know, episode where we just like come here and we just talk about, oh, that happened this week, this happened this week, this happened this week.
Because it's like people know already. Yeah, like, they watch, they have social media.
Yeah, you kind of beat a dead horse there. So we want to throw in at least something different.
Like, I know you mentioned our next episode will possibly be like something along the lines of like wrestling fans, right? So it's not necessarily like, you know, of course, we're going to still be talking about the wrestling aspects of it, but, you know, the fan part of it, stuff like that. So.
Exactly. So if you like this episode, please subscribe. So to know, you know, when, you know, that's pretty much the only way you're going to know when this episode's come out. There's going to be really no timeline. You just have to subscribe and you'll be notified as soon as this new episode drops. It's going to be, of course, if you're on if you're listening on audio, these episodes are available in full video on our YouTube channel. Cave In Universe is where we have the Cave In Universe podcast, our flagship podcast, pop culture society, you know, people podcast. You know, of course, Jobber Circle Wrestling is on there, which is the one you're listening to right now. And it's a wrestling podcast. That was weird. You're listening to Jobber Circle Wrestling. Here's your host, Kaylin. Anyway, that was kind of weird that my voice went up like that. And then, of course, we have Cave In Clips, which include Cave In Universe and Jobber Circle. So, other than that, fuck off.